Great to be here with you guys this morning. It's great to come out here and share with you. So, you guys enjoying that weather out there? How about that, right? Good. Hey, I was doing some thinking about this. My slides are a little off. Go to the first one there, Zach the Rock, officially 20 years old. I was working on my sermon this week a little bit, and I was talking about, and I got to thinking about how old the Rock Youth Ministry was. And I realized that 2003, February of 2003 is when I first officially started here part-time at the church. So February is now 20 years the Rock Youth Ministry has been around for 20 whole years, and it has been a long, long time. And so I went back to as far as I could to find some pictures because, listen, the Rock Youth Ministry started before you could take pictures on your phone. I mean, some of you kids don't understand that, but you actually had to have a camera, and then you had to go to Walgreens or Walmart and get the film developed in order to have pictures. So then I scanned a few pictures in here to kind of show you a little bit, but you'll see a few of the pictures right there. And if you look at the pictures, you'll notice, you know, some things have changed and some things have remained the same. For example, you look at the kid in the red shirt, that's Steven. You know, he has changed. He's grown a lot. However, he still loves golf. That still remains the same. He's still always he's always out there golfing. If you look at Trisha is there in the blue shirt. That's I think a picture of her in seventh or eighth grade, somewhere around there. You know, some things have changed. She's become a mother. Some things haven't changed. She hasn't really grown a lot since then. She'll tell you the same thing. It's fine. It's all right. I'm in the picture. There I am. The things that's changed about that is I have a lot less hair now than I did 20 years ago. If you look at the bottom picture in the lower right, you see Sean, who's going to come lead worship for us next week. You know, that I think that's on our one of our first trips to Ohio, I believe, was on a mission trip. I think that's when it was, but that's Sean. Listen, things have changed, but over the years of the 20 years of being here and being involved with the youth and being involved in the lives of students here, some things haven't changed in the sense of we still want to see kids spiritually transformed. We still want to see the next generation reached for the gospel. We still want to help develop them and disciple them and help them to grow in their relationship with God. Those are things in which we strive to do and in which we do each and every Wednesday night and Sunday and through all of you guys and through all the volunteers that are here for wherever you're at. Investing in that next generation is so incredibly important. Last week, we began a series called What Are You Investing In? And we talked about certain different things in which you can invest in your life, which are going to produce, help you to stay in the fertile soil. And tonight, and I kind of avoided relationships because today is when I want to hammer home a little bit about relationships and investing in the next generation. And for you, I want you to understand that maybe the next generation isn't necessarily teenagers or isn't necessarily kids. Maybe the next generation for you is a younger family that's just starting out, or maybe it's your grandchildren, or maybe it's your people that your own age. But in sense, there are ways in which you can look out and you can reach out and you can look for opportunities in which you can invest in other people. So let's chat. Mark chapter 4. Last week we were in Mark chapter 4. We're going to be there a little bit later, a little bit more here today. So Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, if you have your Bibles, you can turn. If not, you can follow along up on the screen. He also said, this is Jesus speaking, he's starting to teach, he's teaching some parables to some people, and this is what he's going, that's what the kingdom of God is like. And so he goes on to explain, this is what the kingdom of God is like. He says this, the kingdom of God is like a man who scatters seed on the ground, night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows. Though he does not know how, all by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. I want to pause there for a second. I want you to think about this kind of concept in which Jesus is teaching. He's, listen, we are the farm. We are to plant seeds. We are to make sure that the seeds are planted. But even though we don't understand how things necessarily work and we're not really controlling the soil and we're not in charge of watering and all that kind of stuff, God gives the increase. God is the one that's going to grow and work in the lives of the individual. Our job as Christians and our job as believers and our job as followers of Jesus is to plant the seeds. All right. It's not our responsibility in a sense to make sure people grow. That's not a relationship that we can control. I can't control Grace's relationship with Jesus. That's between her and Jesus. It's our job to plant seeds and to keep planting seeds and to keep planting seeds and keep trying to nurture, keep trying to try help those along. But God gives the growth. And I heard a preacher say this once, and it was years ago. I don't even remember who it was at this time. But I think he entitled the sermon, "Let Dirt Do the Work," kind of thing. And it fits. And I'm pretty sure that this was the text in which he was using on that thing. Let the dirt do the work. Let God do the work. You plant the seeds. You be the farmer. You do what you're supposed to do. You plant. You reach people for the gospel. You share the gospel. But you got to let the dirt do the work. And so Jesus goes on to say this. Again, he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows to become the largest of all garden plants with such big branches that the birds can perch on it." And I love kind of what Jesus is alluding to here. He's saying, listen, Christianity is going to start small. It's going to be like a little bit of a mustard seed, and it's going to start. But then as we get the retrospect, hindsight, to look at history and see how Christianity has grown and how that has just blossomed and went from a mustard seed that started 2,000 years ago to where it is at now, that's how the kingdom of God works. And in our lives, that seed can be similar. We can plant that seed, and we have no idea sometimes that seed was even planted. We have no idea how that seed is going to be developed and how that seed is going to be grown. We have no idea where it's going to take us or how it's going to work. But we know that if we're obedient, if we're faithful, that God is going to take that seed, and it's going to grow us and mature us into who he wants us to be. You see, investing in the next generation is biblical. Several different areas in life. Is in the Bible, is it there? You can look at Moses, he invested into Joshua. You can look at Eli, who invested into Samuel. You can look at Samuel, who then turned and invested in David. So investing in other people is a biblical concept, and it's important for us to realize that we need to invest in other people. Because not only did someone probably along your lines invest in you, and you could probably stop and pause and think about that person. Who is that one person? Who are those three people who invested in me when I was a young person or when I was new to the faith? Who invested in me? You, in turn, need to pay it forward and invest in someone as well. Planting seeds in the next generation requires that you have a plan. Last week, we talked a little bit about having a plan. We talked about how a direction, not intention, gets you where to go. You know, I can intend to do something, but that doesn't mean I'm going to get it done. You know, it's direction that gets us to where we want to go, not intention. And I think it's so important that we realize that we need to be intentional when it comes to planting seeds. We need to have a plan when it comes to planting seeds. We, you know, farmers, they just don't wake up one day in January and go, you know what, today's a good day to plant. Because in Iowa, that would be a bad day to plant, right? They have some sort of plan. They have the cycle. They understand when is a good time to get into the fields and get that stuff done. They know when they have to have it done in order for the crop to be right and have enough time for the dirt to do its work kind of thing. And so they have to have a plan. And likewise, it's important for us to have a plan. It's important for us to be intentional in how we want to reach the next generation, how we want to reach other people that are around us. And so I was thinking about this a little bit, and I loved it because when I was a kid, I had tons of people that were intentional with me. Like they were intentional with making sure that I was involved in church. They were intentional making sure that I got to go. And there's several of them that are actually in this room right now. But Joanna Bunker, they lived in town. And my parents I lived next door to a church. And that's how I got involved in church. They kept me involved. The people loved me at Fairview. They kept me going. They gave me a nice sense of community. They gave me a safe place. All of that great stuff. But then my parents got divorced when I was 10, and I moved to town. And so I no longer live next door to the church. And my family, who wasn't involved in church at the time, they still let me go and be involved in church. And so out of their way, oftentimes, Joanna Bunker would make sure every Sunday night, every Sunday morning, every Wednesday night, I had a ride to go 12 miles out to church so I could still be plugged in and involved. They were intentional on making sure that happened. They were intentional. Listen, I mean, there's probably other things that they could have spent their gas on and other things that they could have, you know, done instead of having a noxious teenager in the back of their car or whatever. And I even appreciated this, and I don't know if they'll ever remember this or not, but I remember one time, I wasn't getting along really well with my mom, or I was going through some rebellious stages, something along those lines. And I remember that Joanna Bucker started to have an indirect conversation that was completely intentional for me to overhear in the back seat. And Bunker started talking about, you know, how he, in his job as a Warren County sheriff, that he picked up this troubled teenager and just kind of talked about this kid's life and how the choices he was making was going. And again, it wasn't directly say, hey, Ryan, this is for you, but it was loud enough where I understood exactly what they were trying to accomplish. They were like, hey, if you don't watch it, but they were intentional on that conversation. You know, they cared enough about me to try in any way that I could, that they could, to keep me going in the right direction. And I appreciate that. Thank you. So I wonder here, who are you invested in? What's your intention? This week, this next weekend is this basketball team right here. This is, I know you can probably hardly see it, but these are kids that I started coaching when they were in second grade, right? They are now in eighth grade, okay? And so Jackson's up there in the far right next to Coach Will Naylor. And these are the kids that I have intentionally invested in since they were in second grade. Like, and I used what was on my interest, what was in where my life was taking me, what was in my hand, so to speak, in order to go and be intentional with this group of kids. And so all of those kids except for one have at one time, and some of them are very consistent, but all of them at one time or another have come to the Rock Youth Ministry, have had a chance to have spiritual conversations with them because I was intentional with building relationships with the families that are on that team. I was intentional when it comes to building relationships with the students. It took intention. I was intentional in it, but not only did I have intentions, but then I had the direction to go through and follow through and do it. And listen, I'm not saying that you should all volunteer to coach youth sports. You don't have to do that. But what is in your hand? What is something that you're interested in? What is a way that you can be directional in your life? For some of you, you love music. Listen, I can't do a lick of music. I know nothing about music. Like, it's just sometimes noise to me. I don't get it. It's not my gift. It's not where I'm at. But some of you are great at it. Some of you are amazing at it. That's kind of what you have. How can you use your gifts and your abilities to reach somebody else? How can you use where you are at in your life to invest in other people? Now listen, I understand that this can be overwhelming, and I understand that this can be hard because there's a world out there that needs Jesus. There are so many people out there that need him, and it can be hard. But you be faithful, and you do it one person at a time, and you find the people that God is going to place in your life, and you be directional and intentional about it when it comes to reaching others. So what can you do? Number one, you can pray. Like, be involved in your community. Be involved in your community. But you can meet people. You can build relationships. Because listen, oftentimes, that's where it goes. I joke around with the teenagers a lot when it comes to sharing their faith. And I'm like, listen, it's not necessarily going into your lunchroom, standing on your table, and pronouncing that everybody's going to hell. You need to repent now. That's not what I'm talking about when I come to sharing your faith. I mean, I guess if you want, you can do that. But I think to be more successful and more directional, you build relationships with the people that you have. Maybe for some of you, it's mentoring a younger couple that's just going through something. Maybe for you, it's working with your grandchildren. Maybe it's finding those people that you can love, and you can have shared experiences with. Listen, this is the thing. You have an opportunity. God has placed you here for a mission, for a reason. If you are alive, you have a reason. Who can you invest in? Who can you make a difference in? Who can you begin to plant seeds in? Start to make a plan. Next, planting seeds in the next generation requires that you be patient. Now listen, I don't know if you know this or not, and maybe it's just me, but people in general, not just teenagers too, people are obnoxious at times, right? They're hard. Like, I guarantee you, I was obnoxious. I guarantee to some of you, I probably still am obnoxious, all right? That's okay. And I know sometimes, even teenagers in my world, sometimes they smell terrible. Like, you come here on a Wednesday night after we play a sweaty game, I'm like, oh my goodness, we're going to have to deep clean the church before we have it on Sunday because it smells pretty rotten in here. But this is the thing. You got to be patient with them. And you know that there's going to be times where you really seriously are contemplating throat punching some of them in the mouth. I kid you not. Like, you contemplate and you're like, oh man, but I'd go to jail. No, I'm kidding, sort of. But you got to be patient with them. And you got to be patient because their journey of faith and sometimes the lessons that they learn, and eat, no matter how hard the advice you give them, no matter the direction you want them to go, no matter where they're going in their life, you know, sometimes they have to experience it. Sometimes they're not going to heed your advice. Sometimes they're going to take the wrong way, all right? And they're going to go a different direction. And you got to be patient with them. There's a girl, that's been coming to our youth ministry, and she just started this year. She's in seventh grade. And I met her through VCA last year. And she's a great girl, great girl, really quiet, really shy. But I just, as I got to know her last year, I realized that, listen, our youth ministry is perfect for her. It's a great opportunity for her. It gets her out of her comfort zone, all that kind of stuff. And so I worked with her mom, and I worked with her and kept encouraging her to come. And it got to school time starting now where she had to kind of make a decision. And at first, she made a decision to go to a different youth group, which was awesome. I was so glad that she decided to go to a youth group and to get involved. Number one, that was the most important thing. But I was a little bit disappointed because I was like, oh, man, I know that we have an opportunity. I know that she's a great fit. I know that this will work. And so I had to be patient, you know. And a couple weeks in, she showed up on Wednesday night, and she keeps showing up on Wednesday night. And now she's going on our mission trip with us on coming up. And so it's exciting to see that. You got to be patient. And that one was one where I didn't have to be patient long. It kind of got itself. But sometimes you have to be patient for weeks and years and months, and you have to be patient when it comes to reaching other people. And next, you have to have perseverance. Planting seeds in the next generation requires that you have perseverance. And see, I think that's really important for you to understand the importance of perseverance and the importance of knowing that when you're working with people and knowing that when you have a chance to invest in them, that there's going to be lots of times where they're going to go the other way. There's lots of times that your heart is going to break because you poured into this life and you poured into this individual, poured into them just to watch them continue to make choices. And because you love them so much and you love them and you've poured everything into them just to watch them walk away or choose a different path that you know is not the right one. And it's hard. And it takes perseverance in order for that to happen. Because you know, unfortunately, if you work with the next generation, if you work with people, you're going to lose a lot of battles. You're going to lose a lot. But that doesn't mean you don't try. That doesn't mean that you don't continue to be obedient. That doesn't mean you don't continue to be faithful and follow him in all of things in which you can follow him in the ways in which he's leading you. One of the things that we have an opportunity to do pretty often every year that we've established since 2005, really, since here, is we try to take a yearly mission trip. And I want to talk just briefly about that here for a second. Some of you know this, some of you have no idea, and that's great. Let me explain it. So one of the things that I believe is that a change of place and a change of pace equals a change of perspective. And so one of the awesome opportunities that we have at The Rock is to do that. You know, we do that when it comes to going to church camp, when we load up and how we have our kids go to kids camp. We give them a change of pace, a change of place, gives them a change of perspective. It gets them out of the routines of life. It gives a chance for them to build relationships not only with each other, but with other people. It gives us as leaders intentional times and directional times in which we can build relationships with other people. And so this year, we are actually going to New Mexico. We have 31 people that are signed up to go to New Mexico, so that is pretty awesome. If you're going to New Mexico, would you just, stand up. That's fine. That would be great. I know there's a lot of you in here. So absolutely. I appreciate that. Perfect. Thank you. Because this is the thing. I know some of you, I get it. You have lots of questions. You're like, is this really effective? This is what it's about. This is what it's about. It's not necessarily about the trip. And it's not necessarily about the projects, but it's about the relationship. It's about the relationships that can be developed between students and students, students and adults, and students in a different community. And that is essentially the direction in which all these trips kind of go with. And so I had the teenagers write down some of their goals for the trip, and I just kind of, a lot of them were very similar, and so I just picked out a few of them that were there. But this is why some of the students that are going on our trip for spring break want to go on this trip. They want to learn from their culture. They want to grow in Jesus. They want to make closer connection with the group. They want to use abilities to serve Him. They want to get out of their comfort zone. They want to have fun. They want to make people's day better. Find out who I am. Eliminate selfishness. And they want to work hard. You know, all of these were great, great, great goals in which the students wrote down when we had a meeting last week on why they wanted to go on this trip. But there was an underlying theme in there, and it was about relationships. You know, and many of them over and over and over again talked about the importance of relationships and the importance of having that sense of community. And when we go on these trips, when we get out of the routines of life, when we have that chance, it gives us that opportunity. Listen, I understand that there's a quote-unquote spiritual high sometimes that comes back when you come back from camp or when you come back from your ladies' retreat or when you come back from all that stuff. I get that and I understand that. But the goal for us is to have a deeper connection with the students, to provide them an opportunity where those seeds that we have planted, they can grow and we can keep nourishing and we can keep going and we can keep going and we can keep pouring into the lives of the students. So how can you invest in the next generation? What can you personally do where you're at? You volunteer on Wednesday nights. You volunteer on Sundays. Some of you teach school. Some of you run daycares. You are all over. You do that, and you're investing in the next generation. Some of you, you're not. Your jobs don't allow that. You have different goals. You have different abilities. But what can you personally do to invest in people or invest in the next generation? Number one, you can pray for them. Number one, everybody can do this. You pray for the lost, you pray for the people, you pray for the workers that are leading with them, working with them. Next, you can listen to them. Simply find a time to have a conversation and you listen. You know, so I'm guilty of this a lot, but so many times we don't need necessarily to give advice. We just simply need to listen. But we're like, oh, we're going to fix this. Three easy steps. We're going to fix this. Boom, boom, boom. Moving on. Let's go. But simply, sometimes people just need to be listened to. And sometimes people just need someone to bounce some stuff off of. So what can you do to invest in the next generation? Simply listen to them. Next, share with them. Share with them your experiences. Share with them your life. Share with them the things in which you have learned. Share with them the gospel. Share with them how Jesus works. Share with them what Jesus has done in your life. Number three, appreciate them. Show appreciation. Number four, next, you can mentor them. And other, you can serve them. These are all areas in which you can do to invest in the next generation. So incredibly important. So incredibly important because there, I can't even begin, and I could do a whole sermon. I could do multiple sermons, and Ed could as well as he was going through his worldview and the worldview of some of the students. And the worldview that is so distorted from the things in which they should be taught and things that they are taught from a biblical perspective, are crazy. And I wish that you could understand how sin has ruled our world. And as a result of that, it has really made working with students and made working with the next generation extremely challenging and extremely hard. And there's oftentimes, I can tell you, 20 years, oftentimes I thought about like, is this what I'm supposed to be doing? Is this the right thing? Isn't there somebody younger that can do this? Someone with like skinny jeans or something that can come and do this or something along those lines? And you question that, but you keep remaining faithful and you keep having perseverance and you keep going and you keep going and you keep going and you keep planting those seeds. So what about you? Planting seeds in the next generation requires that you have a plan, patience, perseverance. As Sonia comes back up here and the worship team comes back up, would you bow your heads with me for a second? want you to do a little reflection. Who is it right now that I need to pray for? Who is somebody in the next generation that I can pray for right now? You can be general, you can be specific, but pray for them right now in this moment. Maybe you're here tonight, today, and you need to ask God to lead you a little bit more to invest in people, to plant some seeds. I'm so thankful for our church has made into the next generation. And though it's hard, and though it's challenging, though it's difficult, I'm thankful that God has given me that opportunity. He's going to get done what he wants to get done. But he's allowed me to be a part of that process. So what about you? Do you want to be part of that process? Last song here in a few minutes. We have a prayer team. If you want to come and pray for a specific need, whether it was about the message or not, they're here to pray for you. Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for how you've taken a collection of a small church. Sent us students in which we can minister to. For 20 years, we've had the opportunity to be lights. Father, I thank you for all the students that have come to the Rock in the last 20 years. I thank you for all the students that have walked into our church. I thank you for all the students that are still here. All the leaders that have helped in the different youth ministries, all the way from nursery, all the way up to give us the people.